Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater, program that is fascinating. It has important guests, lively talk and conversation, community news and storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning. Hello, Rocco.
Good morning, Claudio.
Great to see you. You could just keep that music playing, man. I can ease into that for the day.
You like that? That's Ty Arliss.
I'm not even familiar with this guy. I can't believe that.
He's pretty good.
The music is amazing, yeah.
Who do you have in store for us this
week? We've got President Bob Crowley of the Apex Arts Council tuning us in today. He's sitting here in the studio, and we're going to get into some recent festivities that I messed up and missed out on.
Boo hiss.
But first, I want to go ahead and acknowledge my underwriter, the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham. They've got all kinds of events coming up. You can go find out what's happening there by going to carolinatheater.org. All kinds of goodies coming up, including Mike Cross, whom I'm hoping to have on this show sometime in the not-too-distant future. Maybe a May Day with Mike Cross. We'll see. That's pretty much what's on the agenda. I got some interesting feedback from the show that we did last week with Vida Renfro, the, what is it, Sterling Lady Man, Maxwell, let me get it right, Sterling Maxwell, the Lady Man, Vida Renfro. We talked about Amendment 1, and apparently some people thought the show really hit the point, which I'm very pleased about because it was certainly a sensitive topic.
I think we had a good show.
I think we did, and the public response indicates that they were pleased with the way we conveyed that. I don't think it's something that we should get very restful about just yet because May 8th hasn't happened yet, and that foolish amendment is still lingering out there, so no telling what's going to happen.
I know. I like the show. I like your ideas, and I think that was a great show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm very pleased at the positive commentary, especially since it was a show not in keeping with the norm of what I generally do, but of course, challenges are always welcome. Vida was certainly a great character to have on,
yeah.
And part of the response we got, too, was for playing the music of Marlene Dietrich in German. And of course, how could you not be lulled by that voice? And it turns out that the gay community, a lot of the performers there, use her music and her influence spread far and wide. So glad the show worked. Very pleased. That's the show with Vida Renfro. You can look it up on podcasts of the Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater podcasts. Today, we're going to mingle up the show with a little bit of... Mingle up? Did I just say that? Mix up the show? Create reprieves in the midst of the interview. Rocco has brought something really special as my co-host to this, and him being a DJ of his own show on Saturdays. What's the name of your show there, Rocco?
My show is called Music Hall, and it's about the music.
Really. A three-hour show about the music, and I know Rocco doesn't like to talk much, although I like to engage him in conversation here quite a bit. So that happens every Saturday from 9 o'clock on, right?
Every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon.
To 12 noon, that's...
Saturday Morning Music Hall.
And I understand you just did a tribute to Dick Clark.
Last week's show, we featured the music that was very popular between 1957 and 1989. And those were the years of American Bandstand on the air, either locally or syndicated or through the networks. And of course, there were so many great songs and hits, and we tried to play as many as we could.
I met him. I had the pleasure of meeting him once in the past when I was chef on the yachts for Larimar Productions. He was on board for one of our short cruises. But anyway, what I was going to say is we're going to mix it up with a little bit of Jimmy Buffett between takes today while I interview President Robert Crowley of the Apex Arts Council. And tune us into what's going on, bro.
Absolutely. First thing I'm going to tell you is that I love Claudio very dearly, but he missed the best show of the season.
Yes, I'm so sorry about that, but I'm glad to hear that it went off fantastically.
We had one heck of a show this past Saturday. We called it Artists for Animals Fair, and it was quite a thing. And the reason for Artists for Animals is that half of the profit from the show will go to three animal rescue groups.
And this was at a location in Apex.
It was at
a vineyard, as a matter of fact.
Clower Family Vineyard in Apex. It's just north of Apex, north of 64, just 7 miles from the middle of historic downtown Apex, as they insist I call it all the time.
But my hometown for a while.
Oh, yeah. It's a great place. It was a beautiful location. We had 120 artists. And when I say artists, I'm not talking about just a bunch of painters getting together. Of course, we had the oils and the mixed media and the acrylics and the watercolor guys. But we also had the sculptors and potters and stained glass and glass schlumping, which is something I'm learning about.
It's schlumping? You got me on that one.
Well, it's a means of melting glass and letting it kind of find its own natural shape. And
I thought
so
it was breaking a nice window somewhere and schlumping it with you to get out of sight.
Do that too. And we had some art jewelry and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But along with that, we had 8 solid hours of music. With some really good groups, the Carolina Coast Boys, or what they call, I think that's what they call themselves, and the Johnny Folsom Four and a few others were
great.
All there. City Folk.
Was Dave Cox there by any chance?
No, we didn't get Dave, unfortunately. But we also had animals. I mean, if we're going to do something.
Yeah, kids
like
were going
this,
on. Were there animal rides?
Not animal rides. Okay. These weren't. The idea was not to create a petting zoo, but we wanted to make sure everybody was aware. So we had puppies and kittens for adoption and about 14 ferrets there, and chinchilla, and there were some beef cattle on the property. The vineyard actually owns 3 beef cattle. Now, these are not eating cattle. These are pets.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, 1,200-pound pets. I mean, it's.
I was going to ask how many of the grapevines got chewed up.
No, they have their own pasture there, and they're just going to be there to beat the pets. Daisy, Buttercup, and M&M.
Mm-hmm.
They have a couple of little girls, and they named them.
What inspired this in the first place?
Well,
take us back a little.
The whole idea for the show. I mean, we do shows all the time, but this particular theme...
More like an art festival, really.
Yeah, we wanted to do something big. We always try to do something big in the spring. And last September, one of the writers that works with us through our Writers Guild and some others, Belia Keeney, she lives in Apex. She does wordsmithing, writing, editing, all sorts of things. She came to me with the idea of the Artists for Animals Fair, wanting to do it essentially just that October as a book fair. And I said, well, you know, that's a great idea, but let's expand this a little bit. Let's put some skyrockets behind it. And we started talking, and I said, we're going to hold it off. We're going to do it in the spring. I'm going to find a big venue, and we're not just going to do one type of art. It's not just going to be authors. We're going to have a place for authors, and we did. We had authors and poets reading their stuff with a big empty gap in the middle of it where a special friend of mine was supposed to be reading from Seafarers. Boy, did you...
Sorry, I missed it.
That's all right. We had somebody fill in. Not as good, perhaps, or maybe, I don't know. But it wasn't, it was there. We had that, we had the music, and then we had all the tents for the artists, and it must have been something good. We guess we had about just under 800 people show up to go through. I mean, the winery was more than happy because they sold over 200 bottles of wine that day.
And the great thing about all this is it was kind of a clouded day, so the weather wasn't certain.
The weather was a little on the uncertain side, but it wasn't. I was pretty confident because the Weather Bureau was only calling for a 20% chance of rain, and I wasn't panicked by that.
Usually that's when it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
When they go 20%, it's flip side of the coin. You usually get it.
But we had food vendors and ice cream there, too, and all sorts of things. And
fantastic.
It was one heck of a show. It really was. And, I got out there at 6 o'clock in the morning to get everything started and get everybody set up.
You had your hands full.
And I didn't get home until almost 9 o'clock that night. And believe me, I did some serious liver abuse after that.
Well, let's keep that thought while we play the next tune coming up, or the first tune coming up. It's going to be Jimmy Buffett, and I thought we'd do one of my favorites. I think it was inspired by the Mark Twain statement that travel is fatal to prejudice and narrow-mindedness. It's called Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes. Jimmy Buffett.
Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, heard at 103.5 Community Radio, WCOM.
With a bottle of rum, and we wound up drinking
12 minutes now past the hour. Your time is important. Take us along. We're WCOM Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Now back to Claudio.
Hello again, and of course, if we weren't all crazy, we would go insane. That's a good motto to hold close to the chest.
Yes. Absolutely.
Helps to be a little crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Helps me
I've
get through things.
I've done it for a long time.
The fun thing I like, the reason I brought Jimmy Buffett on is because I've actually traveled and lived in a lot of the same places he sings about and spent time himself. Mm-hmm. We've never actually personally crossed paths, but my book and CD does sell in his Margaritaville store in New Orleans.
Oh, that's great.
So let's jump back into your scenario. What's up? What's on the agenda next?
Well, the next big thing we've got is a show we're going to do in downtown Apex in June. And actually, just before the show, I think it's June 5th, I'm coming on here with the Outlaw Artist.
Yes, yes.
Anybody out there probably has heard about this.
Give us
this.
That story.
Well,
from start to finish.
Okay.
I was invited to bring my art to this place as well. You might remember.
We're going to talk about doing something with that soon. The Outlaw Artist, a fellow by the name of Keith Adams. He's out of Angier, and he had a friend. I say had because of some circumstances. Who acquired a restaurant in Apex, and he set up a number of his paintings in the restaurant, and it was 35 paintings, as a matter of fact.
I did not realize this guy was a friend of his.
Oh, yeah, it was a friend of his, and he says, you know, hey, I'm up in the restaurant. Why don't we do an art show there, and would you put me in contact with the Arts Council, and let's do other shows and all this stuff. So Keith, in good faith, put all his stuff in there. He contacted me. I went in there, and we talked about doing rotating exhibits from the artists around the area and all this good stuff. Well,
I remember that's when you called me to make my art part of it. Yeah.
We were considering having you in there. Actually, I was going to put you in there next.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the line, without getting too much into the detail, because I'm sure there's still litigation pending, the restaurant went belly up. I don't know all the details, but in any case,
under suspicious circumstances, one might say.
In any case, all I know is the restaurant owner has fled the state. Sheriff padlocked the place and foreclosed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of Keith's paintings were still inside. And he said, well, wait a minute. This is my paintings. This is my livelihood. I need them back. Can I have them? And he was told by the sheriff at that point that, no, they're under court bond now, so you can't touch them. We don't have any proof that they're yours because he had never issued a contract.
And let's add a little color into the mix by explaining Keith's background in the police department.
He's got an interesting background. Keith, if you go a little bit back, was a semi-professional wrestler. He was a policeman in Kerry and at one point was a deputy U.S. Marshal. So he has some background and should have known to get a contract or something signed between he and the restaurant that said those belong to Keith, they are only on loan, and so
right.
on. Any artist listening to this, please consider that. You
Be
really
warned,
should
hereby.
Have something. Even if it's just on a cocktail napkin that you and the restaurant owner sign, so that you have clear ownership of the paintings or whatever you're putting
in. So it doesn't fall into the category of possession is 9/10 of the law, right?
Exactly. Well, the place was padlocked. Keith couldn't get him. A few weeks later, a friend of mine calls me on a slightly different subject and says, you know, I just passed this restaurant, and the sheriff's car is there and with a truck, and they're taking things out. I said, oh, well, maybe now they're going to release the paintings, and I just left it go with that. They were probably taking out the fixtures and anything that was had to be removed, taken into the bonded warehouse where it would stay under court bond.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to be talking to Keith about two hours later and mentioned this to him. I said, now you're going to get your paintings. He said, I don't know anything about it. So I hung up the phone, just let it go. The next thing I know, apparently he had driven over there, got into the restaurant. The sheriff was gone. The truck was gone. And there was nobody there.
And the place was open.
And the place was open. The padlock was not on the door. So he went. He tried the door. It opened. There was no one inside. But all but two. Two of his paintings were missing. All but two of his paintings were there. So he took them. It was his property. The next day, he gets a call from a friend of his on the police force indicating that a warrant had been issued for his arrest for stealing the paintings.
His own.
So his idea was, oh, I'll straighten this out. And he drove down to the Wake County Courthouse and tried to explain. The desk sergeant says, well, you know, I can, it doesn't matter what I believe about you. I have a warrant here.
But now that we have you here.
Yeah, exactly. And he wound up spending the night in jail, posting a $50,000 bond the next day to get out.
This is what you get for stealing your own art.
Yeah. So that hung around for better part of a month or so. And the next thing I know, he has his court date. They get into court. The district attorney takes one look at all of this stuff, walks up to the judge, and they throw the whole thing out of court.
And the speakeasy is doing the show on this.
Yeah, exactly. We will have Keith here on, I think it's the 5th of June.
I believe it is. Yeah.
Because on the 9th and 10th, we are going to be doing a one-person show, Art Worth Stealing, The Saga of the Outlaw Artist, in historic downtown Apex at the Common Grounds Coffee House and the Salem Street Promenade right next door. We'll have all the art there for everyone to see. That evening, there'll be, hopefully, assuming the coffee house finally gets its license, wine and cheese, and we'll have some fun with that, and you'll be
fantastic.
Able to meet it all.
Great story. On that note, I'm going to suggest, go ahead, Rocco, you have something.
Bob, before the program went on the air, we were talking about downtown Apex, and I think our listeners maybe would like to hear a little bit about the downtown itself. You said it was pretty spectacular
in
its own right.
It Apex is a pretty spectacular town in that respect. And
nicknamed Peak City.
Yeah, that's right, because it's the peak. We are the peak of good living
in Apex.
The downtown Merchants Association, the Apex Downtown Business Association, worked very, very hard to make this a real gem in Wake County. And that's one of the reasons I'm very proud to be able to run shows down there and to be part of that whole scene in Apex. I know that we still have all the storefronts left from the 1930s, and we jealously guard them. You can do virtually anything you want within reason inside. But outside, it looks like and still does look like you're back in this quaint old village from North Carolina.
And we did not let Carrie buy us up.
No, Carrie has not bought us up.
They tried.
But it's there. And that's one of, like I said, that's one of the reasons I'm very proud to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. It's, we enjoy that. So if you're coming down for one of our shows or you're coming down for any other reason, it's a great place. There's some wonderful stores there. Aria's Gifts, the Rusty Bucket Store.
Indeed, as the film was inspired by.
All Booked Up, which is our bookstore. All kinds of good places there. And don't forget to stop at the ice cream shop.
Absolutely. On that note, I'm going to suggest we go to another Buffett tune. And this one I actually have a little personal contribution to make to. And it's a song he wrote years ago called Manana. And it sings about King Garden Bay, which is on the way to Tortola, British Virgin Island. And it is generally where all the yachos, the people get together for the yachos to decide who's won. And this one particular year in 1985, I was on the schooner Oriander working as personal chef for the Canadian rock band Rush. And we won the yacht show that year, and the celebration was in King Garden Bay. So that's my personal connection to this next song.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, high-powered radio programming here on WCOM.
She said, I can't go back to America soon. So goddamn cold, it's gonna snow until June. Yeah, they're freezing up in Buffalo, stuck in their cars. And I'm lying here, need the sun and the stars. Customs man tells her that she's gotta leave. She's got a plan hidden up her shirt sleeve. Wants to find her a captain, a man of strong mind, and any direction he blows will be fine. So please don't say mañana if you don't mean it. I have heard those words for so very long. Don't try to describe the ocean if you've never seen it. Don't ever
try, but I don't understand. Never seemed to work out the way I had it planned. Hanging out in a marina when Steve Martin calls, singing anybody there really wanna get small. Women and water in short supply. It's not enough dope for us all to get high. Talk to the old United States while the lights of St. Thomas lie 20 miles west to see General Electric still doing their best. I got to hear this folks out there to sing. New albums old and I'm fresh out of tunes, but I know that I'll get them. I know that they'll come through the people and places and call the woods rough. Don't say mañana if you don't mean it, don't mean it. I have done your lines for so very long. Don't try to describe a Kiss concert if you've never seen it. Don't ever forget that you just may wind up being.
Of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio En Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LPFM.
WCOM Community Radio is made possible by our underwriters, contributors, and volunteers. Support us. Donations are always welcomed. We're your voice in our community.
And we think Anita Bryant, going back to Jimmy Buffett, should stick to squeezing oranges. I think she is.
I certainly hope so.
I just want to give a quick shout-out one more time to the underwriter sponsor of Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, Carolina Theater of Durham, that you can find out more about by going to carolinatheater.org. I'm here in the studio with my very talented co-host, Rocco, and, of course, with the president of the Apex Arts Council, my personal friend, Bob Crowley, and yours truly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I was thinking about something when, during that break and so on, and you were showing me some paintings that you did, some very interesting things this morning where you were incorporating pieces of foliage, leaves, and other things into some very Jason Pollock-like pieces.
There's definitely a Pollock influence, yes.
Yeah, well, that got me thinking that we're going to do this one-person show for Mr. Adams and get that, but then I'd like to invite you to do a one-person show with us coming up maybe into January, February, or something like that. We can put something together.
Sounds good to me. We got some time
then to put it to...
We can certainly add a performance to it as well.
Because the folks out there, they know what you sound like, but... You're quite an artist in and of your own self, you know.
Thank you, sir.
And I'd like to be able to show that off, so I think then that would be appropriate. We'll bring you into that.
Something to slip onto the agenda, and we'll keep folks apprised on the speakeasy.
And I have one other idea for
Thank
a show.
You. Good idea.
Yeah, I'd be honored to have you there. One other idea, though, that I really want to do, is I've got 400 ideas that tooling around in here. Probably into the fall, maybe around Labor Day, I want to do a show based on the American worker as art.
I saw that in your email, yes.
Yeah, and this is something that I really think it needs to be broadened. Because most people, when you talk about the American worker as art, they picture five guys stripped to the waist digging a ditch. There's much more to the American worker than just that. I mean, think about a woman keeping a house. Is she not an American
Absolutely.
Worker? Is a minister giving a sermon not an American worker?
A horse pulling a plow.
A horse pulling a plow. That's an American worker.
Absolutely.
So we want to be able to show that off. And I think something like that might be a good theme for something coming up. And we could even...
Add to that, actually working in the arts as an American
Absolutely.
Worker.
Absolutely. That's something. And we can add the musical component and do work songs and
Indeed.
Work poetry and whatever all else. So we can have a good old time. So we're going to work on that work on that one. I guess that makes me an American worker, and make
Indeed.
That happen. So we've got lots of ideas.
I might have to come up with some image for that in
yeah,
art.
Absolutely. So that's what we're doing, and we're going to try and do more and more and more.
Are you targeting a date for that particular
Not yet.
Collection?
I'd like to do something around Labor Day. What I'm envisioning is maybe the weekend before doing a large show and actually judging pieces, and then over the Labor Day weekend hanging the pieces in the area we have in downtown Apex mm-hmm. and putting them up on silent auction forums too, so that people can bid on it, because I can see the images in my mind. I just wish my hand would be able to guide a brush to be able to do it. I can write about it.
Absolutely. So it's not just an exhibit. It's also an exhibit and sale.
Yeah, exactly. So there'll be a little bit of...
Which of should inspire the artists.
Sure. And it also helps the community. You know, this is a chance for people to get the art and be able to show it in their homes. You know, a lot of people will look at various areas like Apex and even Raleigh, and, well, you know, they're nice places, but, oh, if I'm going to go see art, I want to go to Paris, to the Louvre, or New York, to the Metropolitan...
Yes.
You don't need to.
Can't get that from here.
The people are right around you. You live with these people.
That's
They're
right.
your friends and neighbors, and we need to support them.
There are some pretty amazing artisans as well as art right here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of things we need to support. One of them being WCOM Radio.
Thank you. Marvelous plug, yes. Indeed. We definitely live by the funds that people provide. This community radio station would not be anywhere without that.
Well, you know, Claudio and Bob, this radio station was started by Jacques Menache and mm-hmm. Ruffin Slater and Peg Nolan.
And I believe you stepped in the early days.
I was here in the early days, and Jacques was the fellow who started the Art Center here
yes.
in Carrboro, and is an artist himself.
Very honorable accomplishments.
And this station has only grown. There's no telling where it's going to go.
He's remained to be very supportive of WCOM, Jacques. At some point, as a matter of fact, Jacques, if you're listening, I'd like to have you on here and discuss all that.
Well, Jacques is still on our board of directors
right.
and is very involved in anything that happens here at the station, along with Ruffin and Peg.
Mm-hmm.
They had the vision, and they were able to put it together in the early days and get the license for this low-powered station.
Do we have any idea where this station will be after here? Because I know the spot we have right now, adjacent to the Cat's Cradle in Carrboro, is not going to be ours forever.
I believe they're looking at the Art Center itself now.
And, oh, interesting.
And be able to possibly move somewhere into that structure and take it from there.
Wonderful.
Because this building will not be here that long.
Yeah, once they modernize this whole area, this building's gone.
Mm.
Yes, this old pirate radio here.
Have to learn how to get to a whole new place here in Carrboro.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm, because this is actually the second studio that I've worked in with you.
That's right. You were here in the early days as well.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we shoot on over to a Pirate Looks at 40.
Looks at 40, right after this message, Claudio.
That sounds good.
103.5 WCOM. Fun, fresh, live, and local. The way radio used to be. We're community radio for Carrboro and Chapel Hill, and also for our listeners online at WCOMFM.org.
Jen, last week I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
You just need some new earrings and you'll feel a lot better.
When a friend tells you they've been diagnosed with a mental illness, it can be a little awkward. But what's even more awkward is, if you're not there for her, she'll be less likely to recover.
Jen, last week I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Girl, I'm here for you.
Mental illness. What a difference a friend makes. To learn more, go to whatadifference.org. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I have heard you call. Wanted to sail upon your waters since I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all. Watched the man who rode you switch from sails to steam, and in your belly you hold the treasures you have ever seen. Most of them dream, most of them dream. Yes, I am a pirate, 200 years too late. The cannons don't thunder, there's nothing to plunder. I'm an over 40 victim of fate, arriving too late. Arriving too late. I've done a bit of smuggling, and I've run my share of grass. I made enough money to buy Miami, but I pissed it away so fast. Never meant to last. Never meant. Just a few friends, just a few friends. Occupation's just not around. I feel like I drown. Gonna hit uptown. I feel like I drown. Gonna hit uptown.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
And this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. Back at you, Bob.
Back at me. Well, I want to throw this back to you because you owe me something.
Uh-oh.
You don't realize it, perhaps, but you didn't show up and we had to fill in your slot.
So I didn't perform.
You've got to perform. You've got to read something or recite something right on the air here, because I think that would be a wonderful idea.
Blooming interesting segue.
Now, I know that that you're a very shy person, and you probably would not want to do any of your own stuff. It's just, you know, it's just not in your personality to be that forward about things.
Who done told you, boy?
Well, but I see a book laying here that just happened to be at random. Maybe you could pick something from Mr. Edgar Allan Poe.
I will actually pick one of my favorites. And one of the reasons I want to pick this, I remember discussing this with you this morning, not knowing whether I'd do this on the show today or not. I have a bit of a personal link to this poem, and it's an experience I'll relate after the piece. Well, actually, perhaps I should do it first, because it actually bespeaks the ending. Years ago, I had the privilege of being friends with a radio host by the name of Mark Mitchell. I had a show at the time at Shaw University, WSHA 88.9 FM, and it was called International Focus. And I had him on my show many times. He had me on his radio show. And one day he decided to introduce me to his grandfather, who happened to be the renowned author Marcus Goodrich, who wrote a book on an American battleship named The Delilah. The foreword was written by James Michener. And he lived in Richmond, Virginia, was married to, I think, Olivia de Havilland, if I'm not mistaken. Or at one time, they were no longer together, but was literally living in this book cave. We went to see him in Richmond. He opened the door in this apartment he'd been in for God knows how many years, and the place was just books everywhere. And in it, he had his little author's moat where he wrote his work. It was an inspiration for me as a writer to see. But as part of our day, he decided to host us through a trip to the Edgar Allan Poe Museum, which was a restoration of Edgar Allan Poe's actual house that had originally burned down. But first, he wanted to take us to Poe's mother's grave, on which Poe had etched a poem to his mother. As we were leaving the gravesite and heading back to the car, this intense storm cloud rose above our heads and blew a tree branch out of a tree and across the street, right to behind the car that we were entering. And I remember Marcus, once we were in the car, we rushed into it, and rain just poured like a bucket once we closed the doors. And Marcus sort of, he took the back seat and sort of leaned forward and said, you know, I don't think we should combine our collective energies very often, because apparently we've stirred something in Poe. But one thing that I noticed in going to the Poe Museum, they had some of his manuscripts laying out under glass. And I noticed that Poe had learned script, and he had not scribbled his notes like many authors do, where you can barely read them. They need somebody to interpret the scribble to see what the word actually is. But he had a very fluent, beautiful script, and in some ways it reminded me of my own, because I've cultivated that in my hand as well. But I noticed at the end of the poem, Annabel Lee, which in books that I've read ends with the line, "In her tomb by the side of the sea." In Poe's manuscript, laying on that table, I saw something that really affected me, and his ending line was, "In her tomb by the sounding sea. The difference is day and night." And I remember pointing that out to Marcus Goodrich, and he looked, he says, "Yes, Claudio, I noticed that too." And he said, "I've actually seen it published in both ways. But originally, they came out with 'In her tomb by the side of the sea,' and then somebody must have rung the bell. But in this book that I'm going to be reading from, it still says, 'In her tomb by the side of the sea.' So I may just incorporate the actual word. Just goes to show you. Shows to go you. This is Annabel Lee. It was many and many a year ago, in a kingdom by the sea, that a maiden there lived, whom you may know by the name of Annabel Lee. And this maiden she lived with no other thought than to love and be loved by me. She was a child and I was a child in this kingdom by the sea. But we loved with a love that was more than love, I and my Annabel Lee. With a love that the winged seraphs of heaven coveted her and me. And this was the reason that long ago, in this kingdom by the sea, a wind blew out of a cloud by night, chilling my Annabel Lee. So that her kingdom kinsman came, her high-born kinsman came, and bore her away from me, to shut her up in this sepulchre, in this kingdom by the sea. The angels, not half so happy in heaven, went envying her and me. Yes, that was the reason, as all men know in this kingdom by the sea, that the wind came out of a cloud, chilling and killing my Annabel Lee. But our love, it was stronger by far than the love of those who were older than we, of many far wiser than we. And neither the angels in heaven above, nor the demons down under the sea, can ever dissever my soul from the soul of the beautiful Annabel Lee. For the moon never beams without bringing me dreams of the beautiful Annabel Lee. And the stars never rise, but I see the bright eyes of the beautiful Annabel Lee. And so all the night tide, I lie down by the side of my darling, my life and my bride. In her sepulchre, there by the sea, in her tomb, by the sounding sea.
You're listening to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Your time is important. That's why we thank you for taking us along. We're WCOM Community Radio. Now back to Claudio.
Thank you for letting me get that one out of my bones.
Claudio, that was a masterful job.
Thank you,
reading that poem. And Bob and I were listening here, as well as our listeners, and I said to both of you, I don't believe there's anyone in our area that could read that poem any better or as well as the way you did.
Thank you, sir. I certainly have a passion for it.
Well, I always tell people when I'm describing Claudio, he has a voice that would out Burton.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, he's really very, very specially talented.
Listening to you read was even better than getting kissed by a ferret at the show on Saturday.
Right. I've been reduced to a ferret, but I like ferrets.
Yeah, ferrets are fun, you know. We had a lot of fun with them and so on. And we're going to have a lot of fun at the upcoming shows.
Were there any events that really stood out at the Art Festival, the Artists for Animals Fair?
For me, the whole event was just a big scene because I was involved in virtually all of it.
You had invested a lot in this, yeah.
And you know, I spent a lot of time just out among the artists, just talking to them and trying to find out what they were doing, what they were getting mm-hmm. out of it. That ranged everywhere from, oh my God, this is absolutely wonderful, I'm selling like mad, to one gentleman who was complaining that nobody wanted to buy his art. And when I looked, it was the fact that the cheapest piece he had was $650. And,
ouch.
You know,
not something to bring to a folk occasion.
Yeah, and you know, the way of marketing at these shows is kind of strange. You don't normally sell a lot at these art shows as an artist. You sell small things, mm-hmm. and then people live with them, they learn to love them, and they call you back for commissions. And
that's it.
That's actually one of the other things that I'm going to try to start doing with the Arts Council starting later, probably late summer. We're developing education programs, and one of the first things I want to do is develop an education program for artists in how to do the business of being an artist. What does it take? You know, how do you read a P&L? How do you market? What is your rights under copyright law as an artist? Mm-hmm. If you sell a painting or a sculpture, do you have any rights to that even after you've sold it? Most artists would say no, and they'd be
right.
wrong. You actually do have some rights. Suppose your painting shows up as the background of a pornographic movie. Yes, you do have some rights in that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways of doing it, and we'll have people well-qualified. I have a very high-level copyright lawyer going to be lecturing as part of this, and we'll have some other folks, and we're going to do a day of it.
Any idea when this might fall into place?
Well, with the big show just over, mm-hmm. I'm still breathing, and this week
right.
is
catching your breath.
Is taking care of all the final accountings. But once we get through that, probably later this week, I'm going to start very specifically into developing that. I would like to bring it out in September.
Gotcha. And, that's a good time.
You know, start the school year and mm-hmm. all like that. I've already started working with a professor at NC State with some of this, so we're going to have
fantastic.
Some fun.
Listen, give us contact information for the Apex Arts Council and so on. Give us a whole rundown.
I was waiting, and the easiest way to get in touch with us is to go to our website, which is the usual www.apexartscouncil, one word, .org.
On which I actually also have a what is my contribution there. My God, I had a brain freeze.
Well, Claudio does reviews of various things. He's done some movie reviews and reviews of various artists, and I'm hoping to hear...
The most recent one is Ray Bradbury.
Yeah.
And I've got Roman Polanski coming up. That's in the works. Ghostwriter. That was a good film.
Sure. And I'll give you some tips on some films and maybe some that you hadn't ever considered.
Yes.
That are out there. So we hope we'll see a lot of hits on that to see Claudio's reviews and maybe some of the other things that we're doing and we want to have there. And by the way, you know, we talked a little bit about how you have to support WCOM. We look for friends of the council, and we make it easy.
Indeed.
If you go to the website, you just make a click and become a friend of the council online, and you'll get all kinds of things, and there's a list of benefits there. So hopefully, we'll get everybody there, www.apexartscouncil.org.
Well, Bob, I want to thank you for being on the show. I think it's been a lovely cruise.
Always a pleasure.
And we're going to have you on lots more, so you're an old part of the family.
In June.
I take it for granted that you might be on even before then, no telling, depending on subject matter.
Sure.
And Rocco, thank you so much for your wonderful collaboration.
Always a pleasure, Claudio.
And I think we're going to sign out with another Jimmy Buffett tune entitled Lovely Cruise.
And it has been.
This is Claudio Speakeasy.
Drink it up. This one's for you. It's been a sorry it's ended, oh it's sad, but it's true, honey.
And those harbors.